The skills in this recording are for situations where, in spite of you clearly communicating openness and flexibility, your partner remains closed and inflexible. She makes no attempts to understand your viewpoint, even though you've taken time to try and understand the logic of her feelings. You've already used the skills described in recording 2 through 5 in this series, but your partner has not been using the skills. In this recording, I'm going to help you mentally rehearse the standing up skills that are characteristic of people who know how to get their partners to treat them well. Your first task is just to avoid being so annoyed or frustrated that you lose your effectiveness. Picture yourself in a past situation where you were trying to be open-minded and understanding, but your partner wasn't doing the same. It's fine for her to have a different opinion than you, but here she was saying or implying that your viewpoint was stupid or obviously lacking in some way. So as you're picturing this, relax your body so that you're loose and slow your breathing. Imagine yourself back in that situation thinking to yourself, "There's no need to panic. I know what to do." Then picture yourself saying something like, "Please don't act like it's obvious that my perspective is stupid. I'm trying to see the possible good things about your point of view, and I need to feel like you're trying to do the same." These words catch the spirit of a skill called ask and offer. You ask your partner to reconsider her assumption that there's something wrong with your thinking or preferences, and you offer assurance that you're going to try and do the same. It's amazing how unnatural this highly effective skill is for most of us to do. For some reason, when we feel dismissed, our first knee-jerk reactions almost involve attempts to justify, convince, or counter-criticize, even though these things almost never work. What does work is giving an even-handed response that puts both of your opinions on an equal plane. If a simple ask and offer statement doesn't result in a change in your partner's attitude, you can bring the point home by putting it a different way. You can say something like, "Hey, who made you the judge of what counts as a good enough argument? My perspective makes more sense to me, but that doesn't mean there's nothing good about what you're saying. Come on, man, let's try and work together here." If you're able to do this from a place inside where you're not criticizing her as much as making a request, chances are good that she'll show signs of being more open. But for the sake of this recording, let's assume it doesn't work and that she just continues to be close-minded or inflexible, in spite of your request. Of course, if this happens, you're not going to like it at all, and you might have an urge to try and point out how bad she's behaving. Or you might feel like just shutting down or ending the conversation. But people who are powerful in their relationships don't do these things, at least not yet. Instead, they figure there must be something going on that they don't know about that would explain why their partners are acting this way. They start looking for explanations that go beyond the present circumstances. They say things to their partners like, "Okay, I don't think I understand what's going on here. This isn't like you. I feel like I'm trying, but I'm not getting anything back. Are you mad at me about something else? Or why are you being so inflexible? I feel like you're sort of putting me down." This skill is called broadening the scope. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, actually, this is like my partner. She's been unreasonable like this many times. The thing you need to remember is that it's very likely for every time she's been unreasonable, there are many times when she's been perfectly reasonable and cooperative. You just don't notice these times as much because there's no issue. Nothing is bothering you. The times that come to mind are those where she wasn't being reasonable. Anyway, if you can give her the benefit of the doubt and broaden the scope, she'll probably appreciate it at some level, even if she doesn't show it right away. And she might actually start talking about some underlying things that may be affecting her attitude in the present situation. If you're wise, you'll listen. You'll find things that are understandable about her feelings using the same skills you practiced with the other recordings. When you do this, you may find that she relaxes and becomes more open and flexible. Even if she doesn't talk about things beyond the present situation that might be affecting her attitude, she'll appreciate you giving her the benefit of the doubt, and it's likely that she'll become more reasonable as a result of you doing this. But if she's having a bad day, she might just continue insisting that she's right and you're wrong, and it's as simple as that. So this is where you would need to begin your exit from the conversation. The skill is called temporarily distancing yourself, and it involves saying something like, "You know what, I'm not up for this conversation anymore. In fact, I need a little space." And then you'd walk into another room, or you'd tell her that you want to get some fresh air or something. Her reaction to this could go one of two ways. On one hand, she might get upset that you're breaking off the conversation. If this happens, you can tell her that you'll stay if she gives you something to work with, but you're not going to stay in a conversation where you're trying to understand and she's not. On the other hand, you might find that when you begin to leave the conversation, she takes it down a notch and becomes more reasonable. If this happens, you might try staying in the conversation a little longer, or a lot longer if her attitude continues to be more respectful. But let's assume for the sake of this recording that her attitude still doesn't change, and you actually do take a break from the conversation. You need to be clear that you don't cut off the conversation until you've demonstrated in several ways that you're willing to be open and flexible. You only break it off when she doesn't respond in kind, even when you use the ask and offer and broaden the scope skills I've just described. But if you have done these things and she hasn't started being more respectful, it's definitely time to make your exit. In fact, you can do more harm than good if you stay indefinitely in a conversation where you're being open and flexible and she isn't. So there you are by yourself, having exited the conversation. Actually, what you do here is just as important as what you do when you're interacting with her. This is the place where people who are effective really distinguish themselves. Most of us, if our partners have been so unreasonable that we had to break off the conversation, in our own minds, we're making a big deal of how awful our partners are for being so rigid. We're thinking things like, "I can't believe how self-centered she is," or "I don't know why I put up with this crap," or "She'll never change." People who are powerful in their relationships don't go on tangents like this. They simply walk away when they need to, and then they let it go. They don't make a fuss about the fact that they had to walk away. To them, it's not the end of the world when their partners act in ways that require them to end conversations. Standing up for themselves isn't some big, awful thing. It's all in a day's work. Of course, adopting this attitude is easier said than done, and it might be hard for you to let go of your anger or frustration after you've broken off a conversation. A first step toward letting go of a negative emotion is letting go of physical tension. Sit down or lay down and release any tightness you may have in any part of your body. Take a big inhale and then a long, slow release exhale. Tell yourself, "Yeah, you know, that was just the first round. If I can stay on track here, the odds are that she'll become more respectful." So do this relaxing, breathing, and letting go of frustration process for 2 or 3 minutes. Then get involved in a project or activity that requires your full attention for a while. You might feel like it's impossible to stop thinking about the argument while things are unresolved. But studies show that even when things are up in the air, some people more than others can relax, let go of upset feelings, stop ruminating, and engage life in satisfying ways. These people are highly effective in getting responsiveness from their partners. It might seem to you that if you're going to get through to your partner, you need to stay mad and let her know that the way she was acting was unacceptable. But it just doesn't work that way. Your negative emotional intensity will arouse her natural defenses. You'll be more powerful if you can get your mind on something else for a while and get to a place inside where you feel okay. Once you're feeling more relaxed, think back on what happened for a minute and try saying to yourself something like, "Well, I guess it's not exactly a crime for her to be stuck in her own way of thinking. It's natural enough for her to want to have her own way, but I think I got my point across. She's going to have to respect my feelings as much as her own." So these are the sort of thoughts that are happening inside of people who are effective. At some point then, they bring up the subject again. But when they talk, they don't come in with chips on their shoulders. They don't demand apologies. They don't try and get their partners to see how awful they were during previous conversations. They just hit the reset button and start talking about the issue again. They show themselves again to be open and flexible. And if their partners don't do the same, they begin the sequence of skills I've described in this recording. Ultimately, they'll break off the conversation again if they need to. But usually this isn't needed. If you're open and flexible in the first conversation, and then you stand up for yourself if you need to, and you do it respectfully, using the skills I've described here, your partner will probably be different in the second round. Second conversations don't always happen right away. Sometimes schedules and life demands prevent it. You know, the kids need to get where they need to be. You might have friends coming over for dinner. Life goes on. You might not be exactly feeling all warm and fuzzy toward your partner, but if you're wise, you'll work cooperatively and be respectful as you guys do the things that need to be done. And then when the timing feels right, you'll bring up the unresolved subject again. If for some reason your partner doesn't become more respectful during a second or third conversation, there's one final skill that you may need to consider. It's called refusing to continue business as usual. I've described this skill in detail in chapters 2 and 5. If you need to implement this skill, it's a good idea to do it in consultation with a therapist. Just keep in mind that most of the time when people think they need to refuse to continue business as usual, it's premature because they haven't implemented the skills that are needed prior to refusing to continue business as usual. If you think you need to do this, I suggest that you get a second opinion from a therapist before you do it. But the odds are very good that you won't need to do this, and that the openness and flexibility skills, along with the standing up skills I've described in this recording, will be enough to elicit more cooperation from your partner. Whenever along the way your partner shows signs of being more open and flexible, you should return to the openness and flexibility skills described in recordings 2 through 5, culminating in you guys making agreements that take both of your feelings into account.